minister as the Lord directs. Clarence was the pastor of the Pleasant Hill Missionary Church in Bronson, Michigan. And back in his day, you would go to district conference and the stationing committee would meet. Conference would last about a week. And during that week, this was the 1st of June, the stationing committee would decide where each pastor would go in the next year. And so they would read a report the first week in June that would take effect July 1st. And so they would read a list of pastors, and this pastor, he will stay. This pastor will stay. This pastor will go to this church, and this pastor will go to this church, and this pastor will stay. And then at the end, they will read a list of pastors and say, to minister as the Lord directs. There is nothing for you. And that year, it came to Clarence at the end of the list, and it said, to minister as the Lord directs. And so now Clarence had no job and no home for his young family. What a mess. Elmer was an Amishman, and he was working in a barn with several other men. And I don't know if you remember this, in those old barns, they had these supports going up, and there was a ladder built right into those supports. You remember those? And he was up pretty high on that ladder, and one of the rungs gave way, and he fell, and he landed on a beam, and it ruptured his spleen. Elmer's wife was very pregnant, and the stress of seeing her husband in that condition sent her into labor, and she gave birth that day to a baby boy, and 3 days later, Elmer died. And she had three young children. And she heard about another man who had three young boys, and his wife had died. And she was thinking about marrying him, but everybody said, stay away from Joe. He's no good. He's abusive. What's the lady to do? And she married Joe. And he was abusive. What a mess. What a mess. Laura had a three-year-old that was roughhousing with her other children. And the three-year-old fell and broke her leg. Laura didn't, her husband was an airline pilot, and he would be gone for 3 or 4 days at a time. And she had to take her three-year-old to the hospital, and she just couldn't leave her three-year-old at the hospital. She had to be there, but what about their other children? She didn't really know anybody in town. The only other family in town she kind of knew was the family of this boy her son had played with. And they had a play date together. And so she called that mother and said, listen, I know you don't really know me very well, but this is the deal. My daughter broke her leg. I have to be in the hospital with her. Can you watch my other three children for the weekend or more? And the lady said, sure. She watched their children. It was a mess. Now, can we all agree that these are messes? You relate to those? There are some of those you go, yeah, I know what that's like because I've been in something similar to that. Maybe you're in a mess right now. And see, the worst part of a mess is that it feels permanent. It feels like things are going to be like this forever. That it feels suffocating and it feels hopeless. So what do we do when we're in that situation? We turn to God's word, and that's what we're doing this morning. John chapter 1, starting in verse 37. When the two disciples heard him say this, They followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Now, is that really their question? Were they really interested in the geographical location of where he's staying? No. What they really had in mind was like, "Hey, can we hang out with you for a while? Would that be all right?" That was kind of what they were asking. And we want to get to know what you're all about. We hear a lot about you. Jesus says this, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour, or about 4 o'clock. So what do we do? Get to know Jesus. That's what those disciples did. Get to know Jesus. How can we get to know him? We spend time with him. And he will teach us. It says, let Jesus teach you. Because he's the rabbi, right? Rabbi means teacher. He's the teacher. So how does Jesus teach us? He teaches us, first of all, through failure. Have any of you, maybe some of you have any of you dealt with failure? Apparently not. You noticed my hand was up first. Oh. And we're going to see as we continue to walk through the book of John that the disciples are going to encounter failure. And I love that. You know why? Because I have. We tend to have this feeling like, once I blow it, then I'm no good. Like, when the disciples failed, Jesus fired them and got new disciples, right? No, of course not. So why do we act like if we make a mistake, it's the end of the world? Jesus picked them up, dusted them off, and they kept going. Here's the best thing about failure. I am the most teachable after a failure. It's like, oh man. You know, you run full speed into a cement block wall, you go, "Huh, that hurt. I don't want to do that again. How can I keep from doing that again?" And so I'm most teachable when that happens. And I've had some doozies. I wrote a report one time, and I was frustrated when I wrote this report. It went out to everybody in the district. And I had pointed fingers at people who had caused a certain program not to do well. And that was unwise and wrong. And so in front of the whole district conference, I had the opportunity to apologize publicly. Isn't that awesome? So, fuck that out. A failure. We all have failures. I used to do youth events, district youth events. And we had a youth event called Spring Riot. It was all night long. It started at 11 o'clock on a Friday night, go through, I think, 6 o'clock Saturday morning. And in the middle of the night, we ordered a bunch of pizza. And something was wrong with my formula that year. You didn't register for it. You just guessed how many would show up. And maybe there were more than we planned for. But there was about 700 people at this event. And about 100 of them didn't get any pizza. And you can't call Pizza Hut at 2 in the morning. Oh, man. Failure. That's all there is. We could sit here today. We could go around here. We could all tell stories of how we failed. Jesus teaches us in our failure. He teaches us through failure. Jesus also teaches us in our pain. He teaches us in pain. Pain feels like it's not God's will. It's not comfortable. It's confusing. And the thought keeps coming back when you're dealing with pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain. If God really loved me, I wouldn't be in pain. Have you ever felt that way? I wonder what the big sin is in my life that caused all this pain. Now, sometimes I do something stupid and I have pain. But sometimes it is not my fault and I have to deal with pain. So, I have these questions that I ask in those situations. Number one, is God sadistic? And what I mean by that, does God get pleasure when you have pain? Does God look at your pain and go, oh, that makes me happy? Does God do that? No, no, God does not get pleasure from your pain. And then the other question we have to ask, is God sovereign? Is God in control? Right, okay. So if both of those are true, and I believe they are, then pain has a purpose. God is using pain to refine us. He is teaching us through our pain. Mandy had to learn through pain. Mandy was the camp dog. When I worked out at Prairie Camp, she was, and all of a sudden, there was a bell. If you've ever been at the Prairie Camp, there's a bell, and you know, the campers just love to, you know, it's time to ring the bell, they love to ring the bell. And all of a sudden, when the bell started, when somebody would ring the bell, she would bite whoever was ringing the bell. And she bit a camper. And she bit the son of the previous camp director. So fortunately, they were not going to sue. But we had to correct Mandy. So what did we do? So we told the campers, after lunch today, during rest time, the bell is going to ring. Ignore the bell. And we went there, and the camp caretaker, Mandy was his dog, and we went to the bell, and we had someone there ringing the bell, and Mandy would growl, and Jim would hit Mandy with a newspaper. And ring the bell again, and she'd growl, and he'd hit her with the paper. And ring the bell again, and she wanted to growl, but she didn't. He kept doing it until Mandy was fine and the bell was ringing. We used pain to teach Mandy to refine her behavior. God uses that the same way in our lives. He uses pain to make us better. Now, one of the problems that happens with pain, and you can imagine this, that sometimes pain causes us to be bitter and angry. And that short circuits what God wants to do in our life. And here's the deal, it makes the period of pain even longer. God has this result in mind. And when I respond with change, then that pain can end. But when I'm fretting and angry and it has to keep going until I'm refined. And so God teaches us through pain. And we don't always see exactly what God's trying to teach us. We can see it very clearly in the rearview mirror. We go, oh, yeah. You remember 5 years ago when I was going through? That's what God was trying to teach me. Oh, now I get it. And we see it in the rearview mirror. And he teaches us through our pain. Pain has a purpose. And God is teaching us. And God also teaches us, Jesus teaches us while we're waiting. Oh, we need to let Jesus teach you while you're waiting. Waiting is one of God's favorite tools to refine us. Moses, 40 years, backside of the desert. He was the humblest man ever, Scripture says. Wow. Hey, it only takes 40 years. Wow. God knows what he's doing. And we know he's in charge. But we need to wait. And we wait and we wait and we wait on God. And we're going to see the disciples waited for an incredible long period of time. You know how long the disciples had to wait? 3 days. 3 days. They had left everything behind in their life. They had followed Jesus for 3.5 years. He died. They couldn't believe it. He was dead. And their dreams died when he died. Their plans died when he did. And for 3 days, they thought they had misunderstood everything. They thought they were failures. They thought everything was going to be terrible. For 3 days. But they waited until God showed up. Let Jesus teach you through these. Through failure, in pain, while waiting, and he will teach you. Just simply say, Jesus, be my teacher, be my rabbi in the mess I'm going through right now. Teach me. What are you trying to teach me through this? And then we go on to verse 40 in this passage. Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John, that's John the Baptist, had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah. For hundreds of years, they were looking for the Messiah, and Andrew goes to Simon and says, we found him. That is the Christ. And they brought him to Jesus. And Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. So what do we learn from that? What do we apply to our life from that? Tell others about Jesus. It says the first thing Andrew did. And the idea is first in time or place. Make it a priority. Make it a priority to tell other people about Jesus. I'm not talking about being obnoxious, like, you know, somebody walks up to you, hi, how are you doing? Jesus! Not like that. That's just weird. But as you're talking to somebody, just work it into the conversation. You know, somebody was asking me, I don't know, I apparently told a story about what I was like as a kid, and they said, well, what happened? Did you marry well, or what happened? And yes, I did. Out part of my coverage. But I said, no, it was Jesus. I gave Jesus control of my life, and he changed everything. And it was like, oh. So just work that into the conversation. Or you can do things that will help people to say, whoa, why would you do that? A church we were a part of years ago, you remember when everybody would line up on Black Friday morning? So we would make this huge pot of hot chocolate and set up outside of one of those big electronic stores. And we would go around, and everybody's waiting in line until the doors open. So we would get there like a half an hour to an hour before they'd open and hand out hot chocolate to everybody in line. And people would say, well, how much is it? No, it's just, and they go, why are you doing this? God loves you, and we want you to know that. And so, and just doing things like that. I heard of a church, they had people from their church that would go to businesses in the community, and they'd have a, you know, small army of people with them, and they said, we would like to clean your restrooms. Would that be okay? And then the business would be like, yeah, that would be okay. And they would come in and they would clean their restrooms like you could eat off the floor clean. Not that you would want to do that. And they would serve that business, and the people in the business would look at the restroom, and they've never been this clean. Why are you doing this? And they would say, Jesus has impacted our life, and we want you to know that he loves you too. Huh. Wow. And there are all kinds of things like that that we can do. You know, you can hand out water bottles on a hot day to say, here. There was a time we did this for the mobile home park on the other side of Meyer. We did a fish fry. Some of you remember that. We had a fish fry, filled up tables all through here, and it wasn't well received by them. We had a few people show up, and Kevin Gutwein had a conversation with one of the men. He was speaking in Spanish, and he asked him a question, and basically said, I've had the fish, so what's the catch? Like, you're going to preach at us, or you're going to ask me for money? He said, no, we're just doing this because we love you, and God loves you. Huh. Make telling others about Jesus a priority. Make it a priority. Work it into conversations. And as we see how Jesus worked with the disciples, you need to understand it will be messy. Have you ever cleaned fish? Do you want to? Yeah, why? Cleaning fish is messy. Tell others about Jesus. It will be messy. It will be messy. People's lives are messy. I mean, look at Peter. He failed at walking on the water. He's always blurting out stuff. And then at one point, Jesus looked right at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Right? It was messy. And then Peter denied him 3 times. Then he became the leader of the church, one of the main leaders of the church. Who do you know that needs that kind of transformation in their life? It's going to be messy, and the tendency is for us to think, well, I don't know about him. Like, his life is really messed up, and I don't think I can fix it. You ever felt like that? You look at somebody and go, I don't want to get involved with that. Because I can't fix that. You know why you feel that way? Here's why you feel like you can't fix it. You can't fix it. It's not about you. It's not about you. We need to watch Jesus transform lives. John 1:42. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Watch Jesus transform people. He will transform people. Can you imagine the people that were there and heard Jesus call Simon Peter? Means rock. All the guys that grew up with Peter, they're like, rock? Him? And they laugh. They go, yeah, when pigs fly. Nobody believed that. Nobody believed that Peter could be a rock except Jesus. But it's not up to you. It will be messy. What did Andrew do? Did Andrew set up a counseling time with his brother? Is that what he did? He said, you need lots of counseling. What did Andrew do? He brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. It's not your job to fix them. It's your job to bring them to Jesus. Connect with people. Spend time with them. Teach them to read their Bible. Teach them how to pray. You can do that. You can. Notice that I didn't say, just bring them to church. Bring them to Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. Yes, you can bring them to church, but the main thing is to bring them to Jesus. Can you forgive their sins? No, Jesus can. Can you give them eternal life? No, Jesus can. Can you give them real power? No, Jesus can. Can you do immeasurably more than all they ask or imagine in and through their life? No, Jesus can. Can you heal them? No, you can't. Jesus can. Can you restore them? No, Jesus can. That's why our job is to bring them to Jesus. And then he will transform their lives like he did with Peter. So, I was thinking about this. Jesus looked at Simon, whose life was, right? And called him Peter. Called him a rock. Called him a leader. And he became that. It was a name change. So, maybe you should change your name. Who should you be? Who do you want to be? I was looking at some names. Strength of God. That's what Gabriel means. Or Gabriella. Strength of God. Maybe you need a name change. Simon got a name change to Peter. Rock. Saying, you know, I believe God's going to do something to me and I'm going to change my name so that God can do something and lead me into another season. So, what does it look like when God transforms a mess? Let's go back to our stories at the beginning. Clarence was told to minister as the Lord directs. His full name is Clarence Moore. You may have heard of him. He moved to Elkhart. His heart was missions. And so he started building rugged open reel tape recorders to send to missionaries. Missionaries needed training, and so you could just send a reel-to-reel tape, and they could get training on that. And he started manufacturing really rugged tape players. And then, to help with that, he started producing amplifiers. And as a part of that, he also started a radio station. And he started working with this organization called HCJB, which would broadcast shortwave radio to people who didn't know about Jesus, into countries where you couldn't have a radio station. And they used shortwave radio. And millions of people have heard the good news through HCJB. The station, radio station he started was WCMR, Clarence Moore Ruby was his wife. It's now called WFRN. It reaches from near Kokomo, Indiana to southern Michigan. His children and grandchildren are still supporting missions. Oh, by the way, that little amplifier tape recording company he started, it was called Crown International. It was sold to Harman 20 some years ago. You're hearing my voice this morning through Crown Amps right there, started by Clarence Moore. God transformed that mess. Elmer's widow, her name was Fanny. And Fanny, with her two children, she married an abusive man named Joe. You talk about waiting. 9 years. 9 years after Joe and Fanny got married, Fanny's faith won him over. Fanny's favorite song is "Farther Along We'll Know All About It." Farther along we'll understand why. Walk in the sunlight, cheer up my brother, we'll understand it all by and by. And that faith won Joe over. And Joe repented, and it had an amazing impact on that family. And it's still... still having an impact today. Fanny is my grandmother I've never met. She's an amazing woman. When I get to heaven, first of all, I want to see Jesus, and then I want to sit down with Fanny. And I want to meet that woman that I've never met. God transformed a mess. And then Laura, the mother whose three-year-old had a broken leg, the mother that she called was Diane. Her son, Dusty, and my son, Kevin, were very good friends. And she brought her kids over, and they stayed at our house. And when she called her, she said, "Now, would it be okay if your kids went to church with us on Sunday?" And Laura said, "Yeah, that's fine." And so we took the kids to church with us on Sunday. And then the week after that, Laura and her husband, Steve, started coming to church. And then years later, I don't know how long after that, I went back to visit that church, and Laura was on the worship team. God takes messes, and he transforms them, and he transforms them, and he changes our lives. How do we do that? We bring people to Jesus. Would you stand with me? I'm wondering, maybe, talking about name changes, maybe you should all change your name to Andrew. What did Andrew do? Brought people to Jesus. You can do that, right? You can bring people to Jesus and say, let's just pray. And just say to God, "God, make me like Andrew. Make me like Andrew. Help me to bring people to you. Not to me. Bring people to you. Father, work in and through our lives. Father, you know the messes going on in our lives. Lord, transform them. But Lord, throughout this week, we're going to bump into people that are smack dab in the middle of a big mess. And I pray by your Spirit that you would give us the confidence not to be intimidated by the mess, but to boldly say, Jesus can transform that mess. It may take time. It may take pain. It may take learning to do things differently, but Jesus can transform any mess. Father, thank you that we can live with that kind of confidence. It's not because of who we are. It's because of what Jesus did for us. He took on death. He took on the very worst of this world, and he overcame. So as his followers, do the same thing. Do that in us. Do that through us. Help us to be like Andrew. and bring people to Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do in and through us, in Jesus' name.